I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
This almost feels like a bed that we could just run underneath the rest of the show. I look in there in the production booth, my 20-something little brothers both bobbing their head to this chill Sunday beat. Just looked at a picture of Jim Cozumel, who was in a fender bender yesterday. He was rear-ended. And I love Jim Cozumel, and so I'm going to tell you it's 3:02 and 19 seconds. He likes to remind everybody what time it is. I'm also going to tell you, Jim, take that brace off. Knock it off. He's wearing the same brace that I had to live in for 9 weeks after I had part of my spine removed.
So you just shut your yapper.
No, your kind of fender benders are... The neck braces that go with those, Coz, are those foam ones that you can buy, like, on a street corner and that you wear into the judge's quarters when you're going to small claims court to crush somebody for causing the accident. Excuse me. That neck brace that you're wearing, Coz, that's a bit much. But I do feel your pain, quite literally. And I hope you win your lawsuit if that's what that... I'm just kidding. Welcome back. I'm Michael Urban. We're going to be together until 4 o'clock, which means we've got about an hour left. And because we were able to do some math, some editing, there's one interview that I really wanted to share with you guys. And looks like I'm going to get to share with it. It was actually done by the aforementioned Jim Cozumel and John Dickinson. It was yesterday, and it was with Mark Spears. If you listen to my show very often, you know how highly I think of Mark Spears, JD. His basketball knowledge, way, way, way up there. Also, Coz has worked in the NBA for a number of different organizations. It was just a great basketball/Warriors conversation, and it was right after the news about Draymond and his extension, right after that news broke. And I loved hearing Mark's initial reaction to it, but look, Mark is one of those guys who understands what it takes to be a great, I don't even want to say reporter or writer. It's a great journalist, I guess. Because there are people who thought that I was too chummy with players back when I was a beat writer. Conflict of interest. He hangs out with the guys way too much. Okay. That might be why I beat your ass on so many scoops. Because the players liked me and trusted me. Why? Because we'd go out together and we'd interact as human beings. I didn't pay attention to this invisible wall that is between athletes and the media that cover them. I'm not saying that, look, Susan Slusser, I have more respect for her than any writer, any reporter in the world. She is amazing at what she does. But we disagree on this. She thinks it's a conflict of interest if you end up being too close to the players. I get it. I totally get it. I also know the reason the media and players, the reason that relationship has gone sour so much lately is because the athletes feel like we're out to get them. I wanted to just make sure that the athlete knew I wasn't out to get them. If that meant paying for their first drink of the night and saying, yes, please, when they offered to buy my drinks for the rest of the season. No, I wouldn't take advantage of young kids like that, but come on. If you have a good relationship with the guys that you cover, you're probably going to get more stuff. Herbs, how many people would remember Mike Trout if he never plays in a World Series or never wins a championship? Would he be remembered like Bonds? Well, Bonds only played in one World Series, and was he in one? Yeah, just one World Series. He never won a championship. I don't think Mike Trout wants to be remembered like Barry Bonds, because Most people outside the Bay Area, their memories of Bonds are not pleasant. They don't think he is the home run king. Bud Selig has made it clear he doesn't think that Barry Bonds is a home run king. Shut up, Bud. Here's what a fraud Bud Selig is. There's an unwritten rule in baseball. There's a million unwritten rules in baseball. One of them is, during the All-Star break, don't break any news. Don't steal our thunder. This is the Midsummer Classic. This is our signature event in season. Obviously, the World Series, the playoffs, a bigger deal. But this is the All-Star game. This is about marketing baseball and only baseball. Bud Selig was a commissioner of baseball, so he's well aware of this unwritten rule. So what does he do during All-Star Week? Pretty much kicks off a national book tour and hijacks the All-Star game. And in his first chapter, in the first pages of the book, he basically says Hank Aaron is the home run king and Barry Bonds is not. Okay, great. Bud Selig, don't get me started. I'm going to have to bring back an old staple from Inside the Bigs. It was called Killers and Kooks. The Killers, it was performance-based. If you're killing it, you're killing it. If you're a kook, which is a surfing term, it means you're a jackass, and you're a master of jackassery. And I do like the fact that I believe I made up the word jackassery, and I think it might be in the Urban Dictionary.
You learn how to grab your nuts?
Yes, thank you. I swear, the only drops that exist of Michael Urban at this station are me saying stupid things and embarrassing things. So thanks for that. So let's get people that aren't stupid, that don't embarrass themselves. This is Mark Spears with Jim Cosimore and John Dickinson yesterday discussing all things Warriors and NBA.
You read him in The Undefeated. You see him on The Jump on occasion over on ESPN doing great work. All right, buddy, here's what we got. We got Draymond Green to a four-year extension. When you heard the news, what was your first reaction to that news?
You know what? I'm happy for him because I go back with him. And what I mean by that is, like, I remember when Draymond Green was a second-round pick who came off the bench in summer league. And I remind him about that from time to time. So, you know, he continually keeps things in perspective. Not that he doesn't, but you got to remember that. I mean, this is a guy that made $865,000, which, you know, I'm talking NBA money now, so keep that in mind, his rookie year. So to make $25 million now, when you made that before, it's a great story. It shows what you can do with hard work and perseverance. And so I'm like really, really like happy for him. Sure, there's, I guess, a somewhat of a gamble, leaving some money on the table. But it ain't like he getting chump change. And I know that he'd really love to finish career in a Warriors uniform and get his jersey retired. So I'm glad to hear that he's going to be here longer.
Yeah, Mark, I was actually surprised that Draymond didn't play it out, at least until next summer. Now, the options maybe are a little more limited than they would have been, obviously, if he'd been a free agent this summer in terms of suitors. But does it just come down to being somewhere in between the 100 that he's going to get and the 150 that maybe he could have gotten? Is it a matter of just that's not worth it at this point?
I mean, I think there's a gamble there because, one, I mean, when you see your colleagues, like, you know, Boogie go from making big money to getting it dropped dramatically, like, you just never know what's going to happen. Plus, he's going to be 30. You get older, then you look at the teams where the money's going to be available next summer. It's not a lot. And if you look at the teams, like Bobby Marks, ESPN's great front office insider, he said that the teams that would have cap space, Atlanta,
yeah,
Charlotte, Cleveland, Memphis, and Toronto without Kawhi Leonard, can you see Draymond wearing any of those uniforms? You know, so, I mean, look, he's going to make 22, 24, 25, 27. That's nothing to sneeze at. That's still great money. And he also makes off-the-court money because he plays for the Warriors. He works in the Bay. There's going to be a lot of money he's going to make going to the new arena. So I think he's a big dominoes player. and all money ain't good money, you know, too. I think he knew or feels like long-term, safety-wise, staying here is the best thing for him.
Mark Spears, you read him in The Undefeated. You see him on The Jump on ESPN, joining us on 95.7 The Game on the dial pad guest line. Mark, there is mostly a positive reaction, as you would expect, to Draymond Green. There is some reaction of this guy averaged 7 points a game, 7 rebounds a game, 6 assists a game, in the playoffs, almost 3 turnovers a game. He's not worth $100 million. Is that an unfair way to look at what Draymond Green adds to the Golden State Warriors?
Well, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and what he does to me is much bigger than what you see on the stat sheet. He showed you in the playoffs how valuable he is, what he means to this team, how he makes players better. I still remember, I think there was some steal that he had against Houston, which is one of the greatest steals I've ever seen in NBA history. There's just so much he does that is more than, you know, than scoring. And so much emphasis is put on scoring. When I watch that Melo interview, I'm like screaming at my colleague, Stephen A. I'm like, ask him about defense. Ask him about defense. That's the reason why he's not in the league. It has nothing to do with what he could score. But we're so enamored with scoring. Point. Can he shoot it from three? Can he cross this guy over? Will he dunk? That the guys that do all the dirty work like Draymond does, like a lot of times that doesn't get appreciated. And, you know, the Warriors understand his value.
Now, Mark, where does this leave the Warriors in terms of flexibility? Because having him signed and not having it linger into next year, I just view it as twofold. They've got that championship core in place. They've got D'Angelo Russell coming in to help out while Klay Thompson is out. And then you can see how it works with the four of those guys. But now that you know what Draymond Green is going to cost you moving forward, you've got flexibility to make moves if you feel there are other players out there via trade that maybe can come into the mix.
I mean, I love their core with this added addition. I mean, to me, they weren't going to get no other big free agent anyway. It's a matter of putting the pieces around them to succeed. I like some of their young players. I really like this rookie kid, and I can't say his name correctly.
Smiley Geach?
There you go. Smiley. I love Smiley. I think he's going to help. I think that Willie Cauley-Stein is going to be amazing for them. You know, some of the young guys, like Looney's going to be good. They got some young kids that are going to help. So, I mean, but that's the route they have to go. You got five key guys, and fill out the rest of the roster. So some of these young guys are going to have to step up, man. That's what great teams have to do, is when you have, like the Lakers, you're going to have to convince some vets to take $1 million, to take the veteran minimum, to come in there. Like, they're getting Boogie on a steal, and he's going to be in shape, and he's going to be motivated, and, you know, so you got to convince some of these other guys to come. It's going to be sad not to see Iguodala and Livingston and, you know, in uniform anymore, and obviously Durant. But under the circumstances, getting Russell, I thought, was huge for the Warriors, huge for Bob Myers. Perhaps the next to getting Durant, that was the biggest move that he's made. So I know people were like, thinking everything is over for him. But if Klay could get healthy and they could stay in the, you know, make sure they get a playoff, get into the playoffs, they're still going to be a scary team going forward because they know each other well and they'll play together.
Mark Spears joining us in the dial pad guest line here on 95.7 The Game. How much credit do we give Joe Lacob, Peter Guber? Lacob said not long ago he wanted Draymond Green to finish his career as a Golden State Warrior, and then he goes out and gets the 4-year extension. Joe Lacob, does he deserve a little pat on the back for the way he's handling all these things recently?
Yeah, I mean, he's smart enough to know to keep the three intact. You know, because people saying that the team has changed until Clay, Steph, or Draymond leave, it's not different to me. It's just different. It's still, like, I went and saw Hamilton recently. That's not the same group that's in New York, you know? That's
right.
The same group that they started with. This is still, the three main guys are still there. So, you know, kudos for them for keeping it intact. Kudos for Bob, who I saw in the regular season. Maybe he already knew that Draymond was going to go change agents and go to, you know, Rich Paul. You know, I saw them talk before a game, getting that in motion. They've done some great things under really tough circumstances. So, yeah, I mean, kudos to the whole group for keeping it intact. And, look, I know Chase ain't cheap. It's really, really expensive to go there, and there's some extraneous expenses. But, hey, nobody forced them to go there. That was a decision that the ownership wanted. Nobody told them they had to go to San Francisco. They could have built something much cheaper in Oakland and people would have been fine. But so I don't want to hear no complaining about how much this thing costs because nobody forced them to do that. But when it's all said and done, I do think that Chase is going to bring them a lot of money the same way that the Giants got a lot of money from being in their new ballpark when it opened. So it'll end up paying off itself. So I think there will be some extra money that they're getting from sponsors, from those names you see, from being Chase, from all that they'll get for being in this arena. So it'll all work itself out financially.
I'm going to finish it off this way. It might not be as specific to the Warriors, but more NBA. There are still some unsigned free agents out there. Some might be worthwhile. Some think Jeremy Lin could be a piece for somebody. But the guy who's making the rounds and trying to rehab his personality tour is Carmelo Anthony. Would anyone, maybe even Warriors included, see value in Carmelo Anthony and giving him a chance to spread the floor, hit some shots, and be a guy coming off the bench who could add something?
Well, first shout out to Al Addo Jr. He texted me to say he's listening. So
way to go. Thank you, Al Jr.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I've known Melo since he came in the league. I covered the Nuggets when he showed up. I covered him at the Denver Post. I've known him for a long time. Melo will be great in a locker room, outstanding in a locker room. Could be good help to the veterans, could be great help to the young guys. I think he gets it. The question isn't offense to me, or I know he'll accept the role off the bench. The question is, can he defend? Will he defend? Because right now, he's viewed as a liability defensively, where, you know, with Houston, they felt like every time he came into the game, teams would go at him and try to score on him. So if he's a liability, no one's going to sign him. So I think he doesn't have to convince people that, you know what, I could score, I could come off the bench. He has to convince teams that he could play defensively, and until he does that, you know, I don't think that such will be the case. I don't think, and right now, it's just really going to be hard to me if he signs with somebody. It'll probably be in December or January. I hope somebody gives him a chance. I think he'll be great, but yeah, I think it's, he has to convince somebody that he could defend now. Because his role isn't to score anymore.
I mean, how does he do that without actually getting on a team and playing? I mean, does he have a – I mean, that seems tough to me for him.
You know, because he's never really done it, right? So at a great level. And, you know, he said yesterday that, look, he's going to be the fourth option. He was the fourth option in OKC. When you're the fourth option, you got to do something besides score.
There you go. Right.
So, I mean, I know Melo's going to be a great teammate. I know he's going to be a great influence on the young guys. He was with that with Porzingis. He knows he has to handle coming off the bench. So can he convince somebody that he could defend? I don't know that he could do that. And every time I see videos of him this offseason, it's always him scoring. I want to see him stopping somebody from scoring. And to me, that is what's going to get him back in the NBA. That is the elephant in the room that no media talks about, is him being a better defender.
And that's what we'll have to wait and see if a team decides to take him up on that and see if he can do it.
But here's the thing. It's like, are you going to be able to sign Melo to make good?
Yeah, he probably wouldn't want that, right?
No, he has to be on the team. The Warriors, unless I'm wrong, JD, please correct me if I'm wrong, they don't have any roster spot.
They don't, and they don't have any. They don't even have minimum space at this point. They'd have to waive somebody to have the minimum space to even sign. And his minimum is bigger than other minimums because he's been in the league so long.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, I just think it's. But if I'll say this, if I'm the Sacramento Kings, I bring him in.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Because, like, you need somebody. Like, I thought Vince Carter was great for him. I thought he was a great veteran influence for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Melo could have that same kind of impact. And also, they could have minutes for him there. So but that's one of the things that Melo has to do is, you know, stop wanting to be in a star situation. And, like, he probably should have went to Portland when he had a chance. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Could have went to Portland. He probably should have stayed with New York early. I think there's a, you know, he would have stayed in Denver. Where would his career have been now? It's always been, and, you know, after leaving Denver, the bright lights. And to me, he needs to find the right place. Forget about playing with Russell and PG or, you know, playing with James. No, you got to find the right place for you. I think Sacramento could be a great place for him.
Boy, that would be intriguing. All right, Mark Spears, we appreciate you giving us part of the Saturday. Maybe I see you out there at the Coliseum tonight when the A's and the Cardinals go at it. All right, pal?
I'm going to make sure I'm sitting right in front of you.
Man, that's wrong. That's just wrong, bro.
Wear like an A's. I'm a get one of those A's Sundays in the helmet and then clean it and put the helmet on. I'll be a bigger distraction.
That's good living. I like it. Spearsy, we should all live that way. Thanks, Mark. We appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
All right, take care.
There you have it. Mark Spears, the undefeated, ESPN, The Jump. He's everywhere.
Love talking to Spears.
Yep, he's always got something to say.
That was obviously yesterday. Coz and JD talking with Mark Spears, three of my favorite conversationalists when it comes to the NBA. That was just really good stuff. I was hoping we would find time this weekend. That wasn't everything that Mark did with them on the air, but Joe Sherry, kudos to you and Joe Spadoni for the work that you put in to make sure the audience didn't miss that great interview. If you've missed any of the interviews today, if you are a baseball fan who can actually open your mind to stuff meaning something outside of the Bay Area, check out Roger Lodge, what he did with us. He did about a half an hour last hour. At some point soon, it'll be up on 957thegame.com. We talked about Tyler Skaggs. The night to celebrate him at Angel Stadium was one of the most phenomenal nights I've ever seen at a ballpark. It moved me to tears a number of times. And while it's not the most hardcore sports conversation you will ever hear, Roger Lodge put it in great perspective. You just got some hardcore basketball stuff from JD and Coz and Spearsy, and you'll get more basketball stuff when we return. We are going to be speaking. Our final guest of the day is Cam Inman. So obviously we're going to get into some 49ers because that's who Cam covers, but he can also talk basketball. He can talk about anything. He's a Bay Area guy. And we've also got good for ball, bad for ball to get to. Okay, you guys have seen Ginger Guard, right? Dustin May? The prospect for the Dodgers with crazy, long, curly, bushy, red hair. Do you know who John Brebbia is? During this break, Google John Brebbia, Google Dustin May, and put them together and tell me why I'm asking you to do this on 95.7 The Game.
Now back 95.7 The Game.
We are rounding home, rounding third and heading for home. I'm Michael Urban. Thanks for being with us. It's 3:30 and 35 seconds. Jim Cosmore, in case you're wondering. Cosmore's on the mend, of course. Was in a bumper. Was he? He was in bumper cars. Somebody bumped him from behind yesterday. And wasn't able to make the show. He's on Twitter wearing a neck brace. I hope you're doing better, Jim.
So you just shut your yapper.
All right, Jim. All right. I'm trying to be a nice guy. The next voice you hear belongs to Cam Inman. He is, well, he can do a little bit of everything and has been in Bay Area media for a long time. We're going to talk 49ers football with Cam Inman. Of course, the Niners just got to camp. Everything is, you know, it's new and exciting, and Jimmy G is back, and he's healthy and smiling at everyone, and everyone just feels better about themselves. Right, Cam?
It's all sunshine and roses down in Santa Clara for the most part. And then they'll get to Tampa Bay September 8th, kick off about 4 p.m., probably thunderstorms in Florida, and everybody will be raining on the 49ers parade.
Cam, I'm glad when I walked in and I saw that we were talking to you, I thought, great, a voice of reason. Because a lot of the voices I've heard connected with the 49ers, and maybe connected isn't the right word, but I've heard a lot of people who are touted as experts picking the Niners to win 9, 10, 11 games. We had a caller earlier who's normally a sane person, said they're going to go 11-1 to start the year. What did I miss, Cam? I thought I saw all of last season, and I didn't see anything that suggests a playoff or 10-win team. What did I miss?
You know, it's funny. Today I was talking to somebody, and we were going over the top part of the schedule. And I said, through a week of training camp, this is how I see their season going. They can start out 4-0 or 0-4. I just don't know. For a couple of reasons, but let's get into one. One, Jimmy Garoppolo's health. Is he healthy? Is ACL going to be okay? It's going to take a while for him to get comfortable running around in a real game on that. But that's, everything looks good on that part. The other is they start the season in Tampa, fly directly to Ohio, spend a week layover in Youngstown, Ohio before facing the Bengals. Those are winnable road games, but that's a lot asking to start 2-0 on the road. You come home against the Steelers on a Monday for the home opener. You have a bye, and then you get the Browns on Monday Night Football. So the first two home games aren't patsies, but they're also winnable games. So I honestly, nobody knows. Nobody should know and say that this team's going to win 15 games or go 11-1 to start. A lot of this season is very predicated, as is many seasons, but this one especially, in terms of injuries and health, because besides Garoppolo, there's almost a guy at every position that has starter potential that is coming off a significant injury, or it affects the depth chart in a certain way.
The voice you hear is that of Cam Inman. He is a Niners reporter for the Bay Area News Group. Bang, Cam. So the way I look at teams that start off, okay, we've seen countless times a team go from being bad, a few years later, they're in the playoffs. They turned it around. And obviously that's what Jed York was hoping for when he gave Lynch and Shanahan dual six-year deals. I think we talked about this last time, Cam. I've heard some people say that Shanahan and Lynch are on the hot seat this year. I guess I get it on the Lynch side of things, but with Shanahan without Garoppolo last year, you have your running back that you're counting on so much you missed him. And part of it is because I know that Kyle Shanahan can coach. I don't know that Lynch is a very good GM. Is that fair? I think if anyone is on the hot seat this year, it's Lynch.
I don't think so, because no? I think these guys are tied together. They came in tied together with the same contracts. They've been attached to the hip for these 3 years. Like every decision they've said, they've backed each other. I haven't heard any snickers one way or the other. If say Shanahan picked an offensive guy and didn't work out, I didn't hear Lynch, you know, mocking him or vice versa, because Lynch does a lot of the defensive guys. I get the sense that these guys have at least another year. The way the organization's being run more efficiently, I say. I don't get a whisper of any conflict between the two guys. That's not to say there isn't any, but nothing visible. And, the only thing I would say about John, because Kyle's a lifetime coach. He's going to be a lifer. He's very well thought of in terms of how he can scheme things offensively. And he seems to have a really good handle with the team as a head coach. And in terms of John, he's in a first-time role as a GM. You know, he gave up a really good broadcasting gig. He's excellent in that. He's a great front man for the 49ers. And when you're the GM, yes, you're in charge of personnel, but you also have a lot of guys under you that are finding these players and making other decisions and helping you along. And, you know, you do have, you're pulling the trigger on a lot of that stuff. But Shanahan, he has the ultimate say on who's on the 53-man roster. So it's not like you're, everybody's going to pin the tail on Lynch here.
This right. is,
there's other scapegoats. I think they're working really well together. That's the feeling I've gotten from ownership the last 2 years. And this is ownership that churned through coaches a lot in the 20 years I've covered them. I can sense when they're getting tense or displeased. And I feel that they're very convinced that the team is going in the right direction with Shanahan and Lynch, and so am I. But again, it all depends on how well the team does. It's about production, and you can't have another really crappy start to the season like they've had the last 2 years. They need to come into October, get through October at least 500, because they have a nice November home schedule that could really set them up for their first playoff run together.
If you want to follow him on Twitter, Cam Inman can be found at Cam Inman. Interestingly enough, I'll spell it out for you, C-A-M-I-N-M-A-N. He is a 49ers reporter for the Bay Area News Group. That includes the San Jose Mercury News. And he appears courtesy the Dialpad guest line. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across your existing devices. All right, let's take a look around the rest of the division, if you don't mind, Cam. The Rams coming off an NFC title. I would assume in most minds they're the prohibitive favorites to win that division again.
Well, they're, you know, the defending NFC champs, which is good and bad, yes. They're probably the team to beat in the NFC. Maybe the Eagles or Saints could say otherwise. But they did go to the Super Bowl, and losing to the Super Bowl will give you a hangover, right? That happens a lot. Niners couldn't bounce back the following year when they lost in Seattle and the Bowman's knee injury and all that. And they've had some changes in terms of, especially on the offensive line. Todd Gurley's knee is a little suspect, and people are wondering whether defenses are figuring out Jared Goff and Sean McVay. you know, they're a couple years in here, so is the league going to catch up to them? That's worth kind of studying. They're not a lock in the NFC West by any means. The Niners aren't a lock to be a playoff team either, mind you, but I think people figure out that the NFC West might be balancing a little bit more than we've seen.
Now, Seattle's still a very good team. They're a great home team. Do you see that rivalry getting back to being a rivalry? Because after all, it can't be a rivalry if one of the teams stinks, and that's been the case for a while.
Yeah, you know, I thought Seattle was really going to go downhill last year, and they didn't. John Schneider, their GM, Pete Carroll, they worked some magic, and they were able to kind of plug in some new players, and they got some key wins when they needed to, and they're not ruled out. You know, Russell Wilson, he got a new contract. Bobby Wagner, their middle linebacker, got a new contract. So these guys have been paid. Are they going to still be able to produce the way they used to? Now, like we said, that home field is, I think it's the best environment in the NFL for a football game. You know, Lambeau has a storied history. New Orleans is the best city in America to go for an event. But the whole stadium there in Seattle, it just rocks and rolls. And if the playoffs are at stake for a wild card spot, let's say week 17, that's when the Niners go there. And they have not won up in Seattle in about 8 or 9 years. And if a playoff berth is online between them and the Seahawks, that's going to be a doozy on December 29th.
Yeah, that's going to be fantastic. We're talking with Cam Inman. He is a Niners reporter for the Bay Area News Group. That includes the San Jose Mercury News. Follow him on Twitter at Cam Inman. Okay, last team in the division, the Arizona Cardinals. They beat the Niners twice last year. They got Kyler Murray. This is a year after drafting Rosen, who they thought was their future franchise quarterback, and now he's in Miami, and the A's are one less outfield prospect at the minor league level. How do you see Mr. Murray's indoctrination into the NFL? Are you as sold on him as obviously a lot of talent evaluators are?
I'm not. I was the opposite. I think he's
too
slight and too small for the NFL. I totally can be proven wrong. I just don't see it. I think it's a risky pick. I think it's awesome that he chose football. That's his passion. I think he should do that. And, you know, the Cardinals were fine. You know, they did. They picked Josh Rosen in the first round last year. I think he had 3 wins, and 2 of them were against the 49ers, and he's moved on to Miami and can't win that job yet. By the time the 49ers face Murray, it's going to be October 3rd. It's going to be Halloween. And it'll be interesting to see if he's gotten some, if he's adapted to the NFL yet or if the NFL has exposed him by then. And there's going to be a new coach with Cliff Kingsbury. Obviously, Larry Fitzgerald kills the Niners every year. Their defense is not going to be as strong. And Patrick Peterson, he's suspended, I think, the first six games, their best player. But he should be in there by the time the Niners get to him. So, it's the only team in the NFL that finished with a worse record than the 49ers for a reason.
Few more minutes with 49ers reporter Cam Inman of the Bay Area News Group. Cam, what was your biggest takeaway from training camp week one?
My biggest takeaway from training camp.
Have they named a number one wideout yet?
What?
Have they named a number one wideout yet? Everybody keeps asking me that. I don't think they named the number one wideout.
Ask me that all the time, and my response is if they have seven or eight guys you think can make the team, does that mean there isn't a number one that's standing out? I mean, Dante Pettis is supposed to be that number one, and he started off camp so-so, and he's come on strong a lot better. All the guys have kind of come on strong a lot better. So it's hard to figure them out. So that's not the storyline. The storyline, Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy.
Right.
He's yet to throw an interception in, I think, 112 passes in his first 11-on-11 drills.
Does that mean anything to you, Cam?
What's that?
Does that mean anything to you, just a camp stat?
Somewhat.
Okay.
And the reason I say it and bring it up is because it's not all on him. It kind of reflects on how the offense is because mm-hmm. The offense has not looked totally in sync. It's also a compliment to their new defensive front. They're really getting after them. And that defensive line's looking really good. I mean, Nick Bosa, their number two overall pick, he's like a stud. And he's been in there a lot. He missed time throughout the offseason because of a hamstring injury, and everybody was freaking out. This guy makes plays every day, forced fumble today, in the backfield a lot. He's the real deal. Dee Ford, the guy they got from the Chiefs, paid a lot of money to be their solution to the pass rush. He went down, Tuesday with knee pain. It was knee tendonitis, and he told me it's not that big of a deal. It comes and goes. But guess what? Dee Ford is gone for a week because he got some treatment on his knee with some plasma. So he's going to be out for a little while, and that's concerning. But they do have a month before the season gets rolling here. And other than that, there's no catastrophic injury, which is really good. That's you just want to get through that first week of camp without any of those soft tissue injuries, really packing up and sidelining guys for 2 to 3 weeks.
You think George Kittle's going to be able to sneak up on people like he did a little bit last year? Now, by the second half of the year, people had figured out we got to pay attention to this guy, and I think it says a lot about Kyle Shanahan's play-calling ability that Kittle has an NFL record season for a tight end playing with a second- and third-string quarterback. But is he going to continue to ascend?
Yes. Yes. He's stood out on the practice field more than anybody else.
Wow.
It's just amazing to think in the past year, the strides he's taken from being just kind of an okay tight end, kind of nondescript here or there, make a play, trying to stay healthy was the storyline last year with them before the season started. And now in camp, almost every day, he's making a sensational catch, the type of catch where you say, yep, there's your all-pro. And that's what he should do. Will he sneak up? Everybody's aware of him now, but I'm not concerned about that. Shanahan finds ways to scheme him open or scheme ways to get the field open for him to run once he makes the catch.
Cam, great stuff, man. I so appreciate it, especially on a Sunday late afternoon. I'm sure there's a million things you'd rather be doing, but you're here with me, and I do appreciate it. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
I got more stories. You can go on to mercurynews.com and read them. I got another hour or two of work to go. So thanks for having me on, Mike.
All right, Cam. Thanks again. And do go to mercurynews.com. Cam is a very good writer, very good reporter. He's actually, here's my thing. Most people are either a writer or a reporter in this business, in journalism. You either pride yourself on your writing or you pride yourself on reporting. I said earlier in the program, Susan Slusser, A's beat writer for the Chronicle, best reporter I've ever been around. And then there's people who I want them to focus on writing and nothing but writing. Don't report. Just go off in disappear for a couple hours and bring me back a brilliant column. Cam can do a little bit of both, more than a little bit. He's really good at both of them. So I suggest you check out his work again on Twitter at Cam Inman. He covers the 49ers for the San Jose Mercury News. It is now time to close the show with everybody's favorite weekend radio game.
It's time for Good for Ball.
Oh, that was outstanding.
Or Bad for Ball.
That is a disgusting act.
Here's Michael Urban.
And we do mean everything, not just sports stuff, not just baseball stuff. Everything in life can be labeled one of two ways, good for ball or bad for ball. Good for ball, I make sure you know how we're playing. Normally I do that by asking the people that I'm working with, give me an example of good for ball or bad for ball from your day. I've been handling it solo. We're just going to see how it works out solo. Joe Sherry has written good for ball, bad for ball. Joe Spadoni is responsible for Kool-Aid and frozen pizza being the bed that plays under this. I will give you an example of good for ball from my day thus far. I didn't set my alarm clock wrong last night. That's good for ball. I am the king of sleeping through an alarm, or at least so I think, and I check and I say, oh yeah, I wanted to get up at 8:45 a.m., not p.m. So me not being smart enough to check 2-3 times. If that happens to you once, it should never happen twice, right? The whole happens once, shame on me. I mean, shame on you. Whatever George Bush butchered it, I'm butchering it even worse. Point is, I should have learned, but I never learn. It happens to me on a regular basis, and that's bad for ball. So let's get to Joe Sherry's masterpiece. Pitcher Shane Bieber is 10-4 with a 3.40 ERA for a Cleveland Indians team that leads the AL wild card race. One thing he is not. He's not Justin Bieber. He's not Biebs. He's just not. That's a fact that baseball card maker Topps seemed to have missed out on, because the 24-year-old right-hander for the Indians, Shane Bieber, is referenced to as Justin in the blurb on the back of his card. Becoming a Major League All-Star in the same season that your baseball card refers to you as an international pop star. Good for ball, bad for ball. It's an excellent question. It's an excellent topic. Getting mistaken for a pop star on your baseball card during your first All-Star season. Here's all you need to know. First All-Star season. Boom. Ends there. Good for ball. Now, whether you love the Biebs or don't love the Biebs, I really don't care. He's obviously a very talented guy. I like some of his music. I don't like some of his music. But if you're a Major League All-Star and somebody gets something wrong on the back of your card, big deal. It's actually kind of cool. And look at this. I was so big time this year. Oh, my God. Is that boyfriend? Did I know the name of that? Is just proof that I have teenage daughters, right? Can we get back to Kool-Aid and frozen pizza with Mac Miller? My God. Look, you guys are being jackasses right now. I'm going to beat the snot out of both of you after this show. I'm going to smack your heads together. I'll probably see sparks because you're both rockheads. And we'll move on from there. Thank you, Joe. I was a Major League All-Star, and I was so good that they started treating me like the Biebs. The Topps baseball card even referred to me as the Biebs. So I'm on top of the baseball world, I'm top of the pop music world, top of the pop culture world. That's all good. Number two, this week is announced that wide receiver Jordy Nelson is returning to the Rays. No, not returning to the Rays. He's returning to the NFL. Well, no, not really. To retire as a Green Bay Packer. The 10-year vet played most of his career in Green Bay. He was a Super Bowl champion in 2011, comeback player of the year in 2016. Excuse me. He played his last season with those Oakland Raiders in which, well, he finished that year with 63 receptions, 739 yards, and 3 TDs. Signing one-day contracts to, quote-unquote, officially retire with a former team. Good for ball or bad for ball? Look, if you want to retire, officially retire, with your original team, do you think anyone in the world cares whether you actually are signed to a contract when you show up at that press conference announcing your retirement? No. It doesn't mean anything. Nobody cares other than you. If that makes you feel better, great. If that's going to be a keepsake, your one-day contract or whatever, fine. But get over yourself, dude. Really, we don't need you to sign a one-day contract. You're not going to play for us. Why would you sign you to a contract to make it official? It's basically unofficially official anyway. Just seems like a waste of time. I don't get it. It's always kind of bothered me. Number three in the back room. Joe's been watching our Giants play the Rockies today. The Giants lost again. And somebody on the text line says, please encourage the fans to go out to Oracle Park this week. They really need us. Okay, go out to Oracle Park this week. They really need you. People were disgusted in Colorado because it appears there were split jerseys. You've seen the split hats, right? Giants and A's? Split hats? Well, they're split jerseys, apparently, in Colorado. In Denver. To represent the Rockies and the Giants. Are you kidding? They're in the same division? And people got split jerseys? Go away. Die. Leave. Spadoni said it looks like the Grimace. You know who the Grimace is, right? McDonald's covered in cheddar cheese. I like it. Split caps and jerseys for fans. Good for ball or bad for ball. I'm going to shock people by saying the split hats, Giants A's, are good for ball. I'll never wear one, and I don't want to see you wearing one. But I think it's a nice little piece of Bay Area history. It harkens back to the 89 World Series. But in this case, it's bad for ball. It's very bad for ball. You cannot go split gear with two teams in the same division. My God. Lil Nas X, I am the only guy in the world who has not yet heard Old Town Road. I'm boycotting it for no real reason. But he's blown up this year. That's his hit. As of August 2019, he has charted 17 weeks atop the Hot R&B and Hip Hop Songs chart. Forbes noted it's only 2 weeks shy of breaking the 18-week record. There have been multiple remixes with artists from Billy Ray Cyrus, Mason Ramsey, Young Thug, Diplo, and Cupcake. Cupcake with two Ks, by the way. Lil Wayne has joined the mix and dropped another remix this weekend at Lollapalooza. Having more than five remixes for the same damn song that's been atop the charts for 16 weeks anyway. Whatever, I'm not going to hate on anybody going out and getting that paper. I'm always about getting that paper, dog. It just sounded like Covey right there. Get that paper, dog. I love him. That's my Butcher Joe shit, my butcher boy. I love him. He's a beast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love him.
Woo!
He's a beast.
Woo!
Woo! Oh, that's good stuff. Anyway, five remixes, whatever. Get your paper. But really, five remixes, it feels now like, okay, when is the next alternate jersey coming out that you're putting out just so you can sell it and make more cash? That's all that's happening there, right? Don't fall for it, guys. You don't have to buy every single officially merchandise piece of your favorite team. You can still claim yourself as a good fan. Number five, the basketball tournament. Aside from being the least creatively named basketball tournament of all time, that's the name of it, by the way, the basketball tournament. It's in its sixth year, 64-team single elimination, mostly former college players that all played at the same college, $2 million for the winner. The Elam finish is the reason we bring this up. It makes sure that ball go in basket end game every time. What it does is when the time remaining on the fourth quarter drops under 4 minutes, the next stoppage turns off the clock completely. No more clock. Both teams are then given a target score of 8 points in addition to whatever the team leading right now has. So if somebody's leading 57-51 after a four-minute stoppage, the first team to 65 wins. That's the Elam final. That means a made bucket ends every single game. A made bucket. How can that be anything but brilliant for ball? Joe Spadoni, you're the best. Joe Sherry, you're right there up with him. Audience, thank you very much. Rick Tittle is off this weekend as well. Get well soon. Jim Cosmore on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.